If the White Sox don't advance to the big show, is the season a bust out? Here's Tony La Russa from yesterday.
I think you can respect the regular season and also understand that if you get to October, you want to win. You know, you want to be the last team standing. And if you're not, you're disappointed. And if we do, we'll celebrate. If we don't, everybody's disappointed. We're going to be disappointed too.
Was there an answer there? Steve Greenberg has forgotten more about sports than we'll ever know. He's a columnist for the Chicago Sun-Times. He just left the facility in Houston after watching the workouts. Steve, thanks for your time here on the Big 89. How are you?
I'm good. Glad to be with you. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. So, questions being posed to you as well. If they don't make it to the big show, the World Series, are they underachievers here in this season?
Look, just because I wrote that doesn't mean I should have to answer for it. No, listen, it's easy for me to say, but I'm going to say yes. Then again, I'm just a big guy desperately trying to get to 10,000 steps here today in Houston. we know they were a playoff team last year. Make of it what you want. It's 60 games and a late fade and then losing in the first round to Oakland. They won a division this year. That's already better. They're also just better by the eyeball test. You know, they have a better roster. They're deeper. They're more complete. But for all they went through this season, I think, John, you know, they were going after it this year. You don't bring in Lance Lynn at his age if you're not. You don't bring in Liam Hendricks with all his experience if you're not, and trade for Craig Kimbrell. And, I mean, this is going for a time, and they're healthy. They're not 100% healthy. They're, you know, obviously Carlos Rodon is iffy in how much he can help, and Jose Abreu, it turns out, is now a little bit under the weather. I would expect he'll play game one. It would be shocking to me if he didn't. Also easy for me to say. But they're essentially healthy and loaded, and they have a Hall of Fame manager, the only one of his kind to be, you know, an active manager. And so what else is there? You know, go win. And so I really believe that the Sox need to go. Of course, they need to go at least a step further, right? They've got to win a series for people to begin to be satisfied. But you got to do more than that too, because, you know, they're unlike the Dodgers who somehow reload every season from great to even greater. There's nobody else who does that. The Yankees maybe a little bit. The White Sox don't do that. The Cubs didn't do that with the 2016 core. They never took it up a notch. So this is when the Sox can win, because they're in now and they're a complete team and they're loaded.
Do you think, this is an indelicate question, but if Rick Renteria was still in the dugout, would he also be in Houston tonight?
Yes, in that division, absolutely. And with the same hand dealt, the same 99 games for Eloy Jimenez, the same nearly that for Luis Robert, and injuries along the way in the second half for Lance Lynn, time on the DL, Rodon, of course. And others, yes, in that division, absolutely. I mean, that was a terrible, terrible division. So would the White Sox have won it? Yes, they would have won it. I don't know if their roles would be as defined as they are now, or defined the same way, and all that. I wonder who Renteria would have given the ball to in game one. La Russa's given it to Lance Lynn. I would have given it to Giolito, but anyway.
But, you know, I remember what Reinsdorf said, and obviously he's a good friend of Tony La Russa's, and I remember what Rick Hahn said at the time, take us to the next level. But Renteria must just feel like he just gets screwed on the north side of town and on the south side of town now. He gets to the cusp right of these really good teams, and he gets jettisoned.
Well, he kind of did get screwed, as you described, but there's one big difference in the perception of Renteria and La Russa. There's probably more than one, but the biggest one is how they handle pitching, and relief pitching especially. That has been La Russa's masterclass a time or three. You know, I just talked to Adam Wainwright, who's starting in the wild card game tonight at 40, about 2006 when he was a rookie, and he was a lifelong starter, as most of these guys are when they come up and get their first taste. But a lot of times they go to the bullpen. But he had never been a closer. All of a sudden, September rolls around. He's their closer out of necessity and all through the playoffs. But La Russa didn't have to pick him for that, but he did. And it not only worked, it worked in spectacular fashion. You know, it was probably the biggest World Series upset It was an 80-some-odd win Cardinals team that beat the Tigers that year and won it. And it sparked this role for Wainwright in an organization where he became an instant captain, for lack of a better term, a leader, someone of import, and went on to an absolutely great career that he just might not have had his manager not put all this trust in him at such a formative age.
Steve Greenberg is here from the Chicago Sun-Times. He's down in Houston with the Sox. There's two books that I one is Men at Work. It's written by the political writer George Will, but he profiles Tony La Russa with the A's. That's how old this book is. And I distinctly remember in this George Will book, you realize how bright Tony La Russa is, law student, and he talks in that book, my memory serves me correctly, I think it does, about how it's a very distinct talent to handle head games, pitchers, and that's the other book that I read, and I can't quite remember the author right now, but Head Games, which is an entire book about trying to deal with wacky pitchers, but La Russa, you're right, is in the pantheon of managers that have figured that out.
And was bookish in an old-fashioned sense. Before bookish became oriented toward numbers and metrics and leading with what the stats tell you and not what your eyes see during a game. La Russa was bookish because I think he thought more, he studied more, he spent more time at it. It's sort of akin to the NFL coach who the stereotype of a guy who sleeps at the office 3-4 nights a week and just outworks other people. I think that was how La Russa did it before, but it was thoughtful, very well considered. And so he blends that now with still a firm belief up to a point in game managing based on what's happening and what he sees and how he knows players over the course of a whole season. That's not how everybody does it. It always makes me chuckle to think that it's not how anybody does it, because why would anyone not, to me, do it with that sort of blend? But these might be the two managers in this series, La Russa and Dusty Baker, to each guy's credit at 77 and 72 respectively, who have really incorporated both of these approaches. And these are the two oldest managers in the game. This is, by the way, the first playoff series in Major League history with two managers in their 70s.
Yeah.
So it's really unusual in that regard, and it's maybe a little bit of a celebration of sticking with it and adapting.
I was at Wrigley 2003 when Dusty Baker left. He left him in forever, and Bartman Ball and Moises Alou and I forgot the pitcher, but the rap on Dusty Baker, he doesn't handle pitchers very well. Wore that guy out, left him in too long. That game in particular, the next night was another disaster, obviously. Does Dusty Baker still spin a toothpick in his mouth?
He does. He spins a toothpick. He is said by some to have really changed. Like, for example, that was, by the way, Mark Pryor who pitched the eighth in that game, and then he came back with an exhausted Kerry Wood the next game and may or may not have rode him too long. And he also used to go to the same veteran relievers, whether they appeared to be the best, the liveliest arms at the time or not. I remember Dave Veers, that reliever, getting the ball from Baker in that series, and it would make you crazy. But Baker is one of those managers who's thrown some bullpen games. And if your listeners don't know what that means, it means you don't start a starter. You start a guy out of the pen, and you throw five or six of them out there, and you do it for a game just to give your starters a break and reset the rotation. That would be unthinkable to starting pitchers of previous eras, a bunch of tough guys who would scoff at that and do. And these are the colleagues, the friends and all that of guys like La Russa and Baker. But so they've gone that way. Of course, that's what Renteria tried last postseason. Yeah. It was the postseason. It was a crazy idea, but he tried it and it didn't work.
Steve Greenberg is here. I'm going to jump on the bandwagon, albeit a little late. I want to watch these games. I hope the Sox go to the show. I would love to see this team do it, and I really think that Benetti and Steve Stone, I always thought Stone was a terrific analyst, no matter where they sat him, with whomever they sat next to, but I'm looking forward to hearing those guys tomorrow night and reading your piece in the Sun-Times tomorrow and the day after, obviously.
Well, thanks, man. I think those guys are great, too. So thanks for having me on. Enjoy the baseball.
Thank you, Steve Greenberg. Always great having you on my program, and I love the analysis. Thank you, sir.
You bet. Good night.
Take care. Here is Tony La Russa speaking to the difference between the regular and the postseason. Basically, it's kind of the same game.
The speed is not different. There's every bit that much speed during the season, especially when you play close games against good opponents. The difference is, on the good side, you don't have to pull back on any decision because you're thinking long term.
I forgot to mention this to Steve, but I'll mention it to you. I found it was actually tweeted out by my broadcast brother, Rob Hart, over there at the news station. He found an old episode of To Tell the Truth, because Alan Coulter, the announcer for David Letterman, passed away yesterday. Rob was tweeting about that, and he found an old episode of To Tell the Truth, which, by the way, coincidentally, the announcer was Alan Coulter, but Tony La Russa was on the program. And if you remember the premise of the program, the panel, Kitty Carlisle and others, had to find the real Tony La Russa, and they missed. Tony shut them out. But it's from years and years ago, very young. At that time, he was the youngest manager in the major leagues for the Chicago White Sox. And we're going to put it up on our socials as well. You can take a look if you're a White Sox fan. You want to check out a very young, very well-dressed, with a very impressive hairline, a young Tony La Russa.
I think he would agree that our bond is that we have two outstanding teams.
Dusty Baker.
And if we both had been managing teams that weren't this outstanding, then we'd be watching on TV. So I think it's important to recognize our good fortune to be involved with these two teams.
Go Sox, go. Might be late to the bandwagon. Go Sox, go.